Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Danny Meringue.
And then I went to this movie theater. This is it. I made a noise like this.
Dusty Hera.
Then this was horrible. All the people started getting sick and throwing up all over each other.
I'm beginning to like this kid, Mike.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080.
Are you good?
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Wednesday afternoon. Thanks for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours, whether it's on 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, twitch.tv/1080AMTheFan, or the party people on the YouTube stream, youtube.com/1080AMTheFan. Thanks for listening and being a part of our day. Okay, the NFL has handed down some fines in the fallout of the Shedeur Sanders prank call.
Ooh, buddy.
It's a doozy.
It is.
The Atlanta Falcons, as an organization, have been fined $250,000. And defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich has been fined $100,000 personally for the, I guess, failing to prevent the disclosure of confidential information distributed to the club in advance of the NFL draft.
OPSEC, baby.
Meaning... Jax Ulbrich, who is Jeff Ulbrich's son, he found his dad's iPad that had the master list of all of the phone numbers for guys to call, and that's where he got Shedeur Sanders' phone number from.
On that note, real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
There was, I can't remember, I want to give credit, but somebody mentioned this yesterday. Because Shedeur didn't have an agent controlling this, Shedeur's number was blasted out to basically everyone in the league.
Yes.
Which is not supposed to happen. Because an agent will typically control that.
Yeah.
And they will limit where it goes to and who has access to it.
Like, they give the phone. All of the guys have their phones, but this was a quagmire.
Of epic proportions.
On all sides.
Yes.
And there's two reasons why this whole thing got to the point where a franchise is getting fined $250,000 and a coach is getting fined $100,000.
That's a lot of allowance money for Jax.
Yeah, I don't. He's going to have a tough time paying that one off. But that's a very tough conversation. Jeff Ulbrich had a press conference today where he was like, he owned up to it. Was like, dude, my bad. This is on me.
I'm going to murder my son, but this is on me.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's in his own home. It's his own iPad. Like, his son screwed up. And, look, I was actually part of a draft prank call one time.
Oh.
Yeah. The year was 2007. Mm. Well, I wasn't a part of it. It happened at my house, though, that I was at.
Oh, you told me this. Yeah.
The year was 2007. And the NFL draft was going on, and that would be the year where the Raiders had the number one overall pick and drafted Jamarcus Russell.
Do we have to do that?
Well, yeah, we do. It's a tone setter here. This is back in the days when the first day of the draft is only a 2-day event, and day one was the first and second rounds. By the way, that draft, it may be one of the best drafts of all time.
Yes.
Calvin Johnson, Joe Thomas, LaRon Landry, Adrian Peterson, Patrick Willis, Marshawn Lynch, Darrell Revis, Lawrence Timmons, Michael Griffin, Reggie Nelson, Dwayne Bowe, Brandon Merriweather, John Beeson, Anthony Spencer, Joe Staley, Ben Grubbs, Greg Olsen. Those were just the first rounders that were Pro Bowlers.
Yeah. Multiple Hall of Famers. And the Raiders didn't get one of them.
No. But I was having some pops with my buddies in college, and that night, the second round ended up, Sabby Piscitelli was taken by the Buccaneers, and then the Raiders were going to have the first pick of the third round. A teammate of mine, he was like, you know what? we got a guy on the team who, for whatever reason, this guy thought he was going to get drafted. And he goes, it's so far out of the realm of possibility. Let's just call him and say the Raiders are going to take him with the first pick of the third round. He did. And this guy bought it. Hook, line, and sinker. We didn't think anything of it. We had a couple laughs, whatever. And then we end up going to the bars that night. And lo and behold, this guy's like, the Raiders are going to take me in the third round. We were like, no. Telling everybody. That was, that was an NAIA guy just not understanding it. And it was a harmless prank. Well, it actually wasn't harmless because the guy who did it ended up, he was a GA. So he got suspended for a while. But it was.
How did he take it? The guy that thought he was going to get drafted.
Not well.
No.
Not well. Well, he took it far better than his parents. He called his parents.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It was a mess. It was not good. It was one of those situations where I was like, oh, boy. But it was like when all of this was happening, I was like, yeah, that's college kids. They're going to do it, right? You mentioned this yesterday and probably on Monday where, you know, Kevin Love's number was sent out to entire university's student sections, right?
He had to turn his phone off for like 2 weeks.
Yeah. College kids are going to do dumb college kids stuff. And where this gets out of control is that Jax Ulbrich and his buddies posted the video online of it happening.
Yeah.
Like that is number one.
The clout chasing.
And he was right there, and they saw his. You could see his face, and it was it's something that you always go, oh yeah, regret doing that. Like that's
also
not a good thing.
The dude on the phone, in pure 20-year-old voice, hey, yeah, no, this is Mickey Loomis,
yeah,
from the New Orleans Saints. Like, rehearse it a little bit, man.
Yeah, wasn't great.
Bad,
but that is the reason why the Falcons are getting hit, Ulbrich's getting hit, because you got to nip this thing in the bud, right? And the NFL is going, and look, even to Jeff Ulbrich, $100,000 is a drop in the hat. That's a lot of money, but
I'm sure he's not thrilled about it.
No, he's not. But
he did donate to charity, though. It's a nice little write off.
Very well compensated he is. But this is the thing. It's not just a Shedeur Sanders, and it's becoming this massive story because Shedeur Sanders, his precipitous drop was documented by everybody. Yeah. And it makes it like a joke into something that is cruel.
Yeah.
You know? And
I think I said the five different players got prank calls during this cycle.
This is where you go, all right, because of the profile of what happened, Shedeur Sanders. Josh Connerly admitted he got pranked in his press conference with the Commanders. Abdul Carter said today. Tyler Warren got multiple prank calls.
Mason Graham.
Kyle McCord.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
Got a couple of them. Mason Graham got a couple. And then there was a sixth round pick out of UConn named Chase Lunt who got five.
Good God.
He got five different prank calls of teams from different numbers saying that they were going to draft him. So the idea that Shedeur was the only one is...
He was unfairly targeted and all this stuff. No, there's...
There's a lot of guys that had that happen. Now, that doesn't make it right by Jax Ulbrich.
God, no.
Doesn't make it... Here I am almost 18 years later, almost 20 years later. Doesn't make it right that it happened at my house, right? But... It's something that I think if you go back and you were to ask a bunch of guys in locker rooms, there'd be probably one or two guys in every locker room in the NFL that's like, yeah, that happened, you know, especially in the cell phone era where the numbers are circulated the way they are now. I mean, it sucks.
Yeah.
But the idea that Shedeur was the only one, it's not true. It happens all the time, and it's been happening for a really long time.
It's not harmless.
Yeah.
That's the thing is, like, look, kids will be kids and Lord knows the list of stupid things that I've done in my life are a mile long. And to be fair, a lot worse than this.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make it any better.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like the guy, I do feel bad for Shador. Now, he bought into it because of his dad, but he did buy into it. But it's also the onus is, it to me, is more on Dion than it is on Shador, because he's the kid here. Yeah. And people can say, oh, he's a grown man. No, he's not. Every time I walk in that Blazers locker room and I realize that every one of those guys in there, with the exception of like Jeremy and Ant to an extent, Rob,
yeah,
DA, and Tease, they're all kids. Well, I guess two now too, but they're all kids. And you talk to them and you realize, yeah, they have millions of dollars and they're very successful and they're the top of what they do and all those things. They're still kids.
Yeah.
Like, it's messed up. It just is.
Yeah.
Period, point blank.
Especially when you don't know the guy.
Yeah. Well, that's why they do because at least we knew the guy. Distance.
Yeah. I mean, at least we knew the guy.
Yeah.
We were able to.
There was some penance and pound of flesh that you had to pay for. Now, there's some penance and a pound of flesh here for Jax Olbrich. I wonder if they're going to catch the other guys.
Well, they all know who they are, and apparently Jax Olbrich is a D3 football player.
Mm-hmm.
He does not go to Ole Miss, which was widely reported.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming that they were teammates of his, friends of his. They're going to be hell to pay for them.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
How much did you have to run?
Not a lot. Not a lot.
Not a lot?
Did you roll?
No. No. It was a bunch of, you do all the stuff you'd never want to do.
Mm.
Yeah. but this is a good point by B-Rod. So many prank calls, then why? That's why the big fine? And for one guy to get five prank calls, who do you piss off? Or was it a jerk? Or is he a jerk too? I don't know. He's an old lineman, so I figure that...
Probably pretty normal, dude.
Probably pretty normal. Or, I mean, you can go one of two ways.
Definitely not normal.
Yeah, well, you can go one of two ways. You can either be the best person or the worst.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know about Chase Lunt. What I imagine is that Chase Lunt, it was a bunch of people, because he went to UConn.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody hates UConn enough to do that.
Especially UConn football.
Like, nobody hates UConn football.
UConn basketball? Sure.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
But I bet it was just his number circulated around campus, and it was people just messing with him on campus. But the big fine is because it's starting to get out of hand, and we know the copycat nature of it. It's going to happen all the time next year.
And that's why they're trying to stamp this out so hard.
Yeah, and to have it be from one of your defensive coordinators in the league, that's where they drop the hammer on them. And $250,000 as a fine for a team is significant.
Yeah, isn't the most that they can levy $500?
Yeah, that's the Robert Kraft fine. There.
And that's the most that is allowed for among the owners.
Yeah. Which is also ridiculous because they're all billionaires.
Yes.
Every single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Every single
one
of them.
Except for Bengals owner.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe Mark Davis too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah. In that 2007 draft, you want to read some more names of guys that.
Sure. Go ahead and cripple me some more.
All right. Sidney Rice, Lamar Woodley, Eric Weddle, Zach Miller, Paul Polzinski, the Penn State linebacker, remember him? Jacoby Jones, Marshall Yanda. Dude, yeah, there was some...
legitimate Hall of Famers.
It's a ridiculous... like, Deshaun Goldson was a fourth-round pick. There was... that draft was absolutely bonkers, dude.
If I remember right, it's the 07 and 08 NFL drafts that, for the Raiders... had they basically gone any other direction, they could have had multiple Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
Because the Raiders took Darren McFadden, and you had a lot of really good players taken basically right after him.
In 08?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not nearly as good, but like you had Keith Rivers and Gerard Mayo and Ryan Clady, Jonathan Stewart, Joe Flacco.
Well,
Aqib Talib, like you just go down the list and you're Dwayne Brown. You're like, oh my God.
Let's just go through the top 12 picks where of 07, where Jamarcus Russell was drafted number one overall.
Oh, yeah.
I mentioned Calvin Johnson went second.
Hell, go to 14 just so you get four Hall of Famers.
Joe Thomas went third. Mm-hmm. Gaines Adams went fourth. She was productive for the Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. Levi Brown went fifth. LaRon Landry went sixth. Adrian Peterson went seventh. Jamal Anderson, the defensive end, not mm-hmm. the running back, went eighth. Ted Ginn Jr. went ninth. Amobi Okoye went 10th. Patrick Willis went 11th. Marshawn Lynch went 12th. Adam Carriker went 13th. And then Darrell Revis went 14th.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think outside of Levi Brown and Amobi Okoye,
every other team did well.
Every single player there would have been a better pick than Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah. I mean, Carriker was a good player.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I said.
Is the worst guy on that list when you take out Levi Brown and Okoye, Ted Ginn Jr.? Probably.
Yeah. 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 That was a good draft, man.
I mean, it's an all-timer.
Yeah. Quite literally. Yeah. One of the best of all
time. You had four Hall of Famers in the first 14 picks.
Yeah.
That's bonkers.
Does it make you feel any better, though, that Brady Quinn was the second quarterback off the board? Like, you guys needed a quarterback, and you took the one that you're like, I guess.
Yeah.
The other quarterbacks were Kevin Cobb, John Beck, Drew Stanton. Yeah.
It was a god-awful quarterback draft.
Yeah. So you guys did okay. With Jamarcus Russell. Check that DVD, baby. All right. Let's get back to the NBA playoffs, because we had quite the conundrum of fans, actually anybody watching basketball, with the way Tom Thibodeau handled the final 2.5 minutes of the basketball game. Danny Dusty on the Fan.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The Detroit Pistons gain advantage with a 106-103 win over the New York Knicks to at least send their series back to Detroit. Now in it, a little bit of life with a New York holding a 3-2 series lead. But by golly, Coach Tibbs tried his best to hand Detroit that win. At what was it was like the 225-ish mark mm-hmm. of the fourth quarter. Tom Thibodeau goes to his bench and says, Jalen Brunson, who, that was a nasty.
You have to wonder how he's going to be going forward.
Because he rolled his ankle. Well, the floor kind of gave way a little bit.
And he buckled and rolled the crap out of his ankle.
But he tries to check in both Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson, Tibbs does. Mm-hmm. And
because they had to take a timeout to get Jalen off the floor.
Yeah. Wow. Weird. Mm-hmm. So they had a timeout remaining. And they had just used a timeout at the 2:57 mark to get other subs in, including Brunson and Hart, like you were saying. They check him out. They say, all right, we're going to send him back to the bench. Those guys were sitting at the scorer's table for a minute and a half.
Yeah.
And with 27 seconds to go, Tibbs, in trailing 103-97, mm-hmm. he finally takes a timeout to get those two guys back into the ball.
Because he's sitting there looking at the one timeout, like, I might need this, but it wasn't going to matter because the game was getting out of control. Shout out to J.B. Bickerstaff and Cade Cunningham for recognizing they saw Brunson and Hart at the bench, and Cade went, Arr! He looked over at J.B., and he gave him the, nope, we're playing this thing. You do what you do, Cade. And they just went spread, pick, and roll. Jalen Duren, Cade Cunningham, over and over again. I think it was three or four possessions. And just enough to slow it down, get a shot from your superstar. If not, have Jalen Duren have the opportunity for a putback and live with that. It was simplified coaching. It was simplified execution. But that's what you trust the guy to do.
And if you wonder the impact that those two guys have, When they checked back into the ball game, it was 103-97. Mm-hmm. When they checked out at the 257 mark, it was 97-95. So there wasn't that much blood lost, right? No. But it was still 103-97. Immediately, Mikal Bridges drills a three. Brunson with the assist. We're down to 103-100. Okay. And you're within striking distance there. Then they open it up for OG Anunoby. Hits a three-pointer with 7 seconds to go.
That three was insane.
It was a crazy shot.
I mean, he is full-on face-guarded. Defender is fully vertical. I don't know how OG got the shot off, let alone hit it. I mean, it hit nothing but the bottom of the net. It was, you want to talk about huevos? Holy, that was a shot.
So you're in a one-point game. Almost immediately, your two-possession game gets you to a one-point game, and it was 20 seconds of game time that was erased. But you just sit there and wonder what the heck would have happened if those guys were in and you used that timeout a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It was head-scratching. Or take a foul and just go, we need to get them in.
They did try. But the Pistons were super smart about it. So Cade, for whatever reason, was the inbounder.
Mm-hmm.
And he inbounds to Assar, and I think it was Hart. Was it Hart or McBride? I can't remember who had subbed on. Tried to get over to Assar Thompson, because Assar is a god-awful free-throw shooter. But Assar, being smart, just let go of the ball. Just like hot-potatoed it to Cade as he got back in bounds, and Cade was like, perfect. And just
dribbled to the middle of the floor.
Took 7.9 seconds
yep.
to get across the line. It was like, there you go.
And in all of this, Cade Cunningham is getting his flowers, and rightfully so, because he has stepped up on the stage that everybody wanted to see him kind of thrive in, and he has done that. Last night was about Assar Thompson, though.
He was incredible.
Not that play, but efficiency from the field. He's not a guy who's going to take a lot of shots. He's not a guy who's going to be, you know, bearing a massive load of the scoring for Detroit. But he went 8 of 10 from the field
mm-hmm.
and 22 points in the game. And for Assar Thompson to do that, the lesser of the Thompson twins, as it were, he played out of his gourd for Detroit to get this thing back to Detroit where they can try to even this series at 3 games apiece tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, The Pistons are in a spot right now where it's 3-2, where they could be ahead 3-2 instead of down 3-2. If you just on the Tim Hardaway of it alone.
And that is where this entire series, if they go to Detroit and they win that game, we're going to look back to 27 seconds to go in the game before Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart got mm-hmm. back in.
And look,
it was a pivot point. You could have eliminated them at that mm-hmm. point in the MSG floor, letting down Jalen Brunson.
This Pistons team, man, they are not yet close to what they're going to be. When they get there, they're going to be good.
Yeah, they're fun to watch. Well, can they hold on to them, though, with the way that the NBA works now?
Well, the young stars, you can. Because I think it was Windhorst that coined it, or McMahon, I can't remember, at ESPN. They called it the Fun Max. No, it was Bobby Marks. Bobby Marks called it the Fun Max. When you give a fifth-year player who very clearly deserves it in Cade Cunningham that max, it's not the full-on 9-year all-NBA, holy crap, here's $75 million a year yep. deal. That's the one where you're like, ugh! That's the Tatum one that's going to hit here soon. And the Celtics are going to have to make a lot of decisions very quickly. But here's a...
That was so dirty with the... old ownership did to the new ownership.
Yeah, we're going to enjoy this thing on the way out. You guys go ahead and take the bill here in 2028.
Just gave them, just were like, yep, you get a check.
We're going to enjoy the titles, and you guys go ahead and enjoy what's left. Cade Cunningham, players to average 25-8-8 through their first playoff games in their entire career. First five games.
25-8-8.
That is what Cade Cunningham has averaged through his first five playoff games.
The 8 assists is really hard.
The two names are going to be like, yeah, that makes sense.
Jordan?
No.
Kobe?
No.
KD?
No.
Oh.
Think about triple-double machines.
Oh, one Russ?
No. One active?
Oh. Jokic?
No.
Who?
Luka.
Yep. Luka?
Luka. Oscar.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Wow.
That is the era that Cade Cunningham is in his first playoffs. He is that dude.
He's been...
Now, he was not efficient last night, but you know what he did? He put his head down and just kept going to the rim.
Well, I think one thing when the series is this tight, it is how do you handle the pressure moments? And Cade Cunningham has been amazing at that. You outlined it with you looking over at BJ Bickerstaff or JB and looking and saying, no, we're not going to run our offense. We need to slow this thing down and grind it to a halt. Mm-hmm. But it's also been cool presence in the crunch time moments and not having to take the shot either mm-hmm. and being able to defer to some guys. Like he is
his first half
wise
of game
beyond
one.
His ears.
His first half of game one. It's the only time that he looked rattled.
Yeah.
And look, for a young guy, first time in his playoffs at Madison Square Garden, yeah, you're probably going to look like that. Other than that, you can talk about shots he's missed or made or whatever. I don't care. It's how you go about it.
Yeah.
And outside of that first half, he has gone about it about as good as you could possibly imagine.
Yeah. It's brutal, dude. Brutal to see.
Detroit's got a real one. And here's the crazy thing. They got Jaden Ivey over there to add to this team next year.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, he has the grossly nasty leg injury.
And he was fun.
He was playing out of his mind. He was averaging like 18-6-5. Like he was really starting to figure it out.
Well, good luck, NBA.
Here
come the Detroit Pistons.
Jaden Ivey, Cade Cunningham, Jalen Duren. And look, you got to give some credit to the vets, man. Tim Hardaway Jr., who had some games. He's had some bad games, too. But Malik Beasley, Dennis Schroeder, Toby Harris. Like
that is the thing that they are young, mm-hmm. but they are mixed in so many vets that have been so huge for mm-hmm. the growth of everyone else around them. Boy, they sucked for a really long time, though, to get here.
Mm-hmm. That part of it.
But this is the fun part. This is the reward.
If you told me this game goes seven, wouldn't surprise me.
No.
I still think that the Pistons can even win this series. As crazy as that is, they could be a team that comes back from the 3-1.
You get one more shot to extend this thing out. But
and then what happens?
It's all about Jalen Brunson's ankle, though.
Yeah. So, all right, coming up next, the friendly skies have not been very friendly lately. We've got two airplane stories, and it's going to make you evaluate where travel. But first, here's Big Will Betts with the Sports Center Update.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Man, that sucked!
I don't know if it's just the social media era, the 24-hour news cycle, or if people just are losing their ever-loving minds.
Oh, tell me.
When it comes to planes.
Oh.
Well, I mean, in general, yes. A Southwest airline, this is definitely one where you want to get away.
I see what you did there.
You like that?
Yeah, I see what you did
professional.
There.
Professional. This is the headline. Southwest Airlines passenger stripped down and pooped in her seat mid-flight.
See, now this is the problem. That when you have the cattle call boarding, like you're getting, they still do that, right? When are they going to start assigning seats?
I think it's next month.
Next month they're assigning seats.
I think it's May is when it happens.
Yeah. There's certain parts of a plane that I avoid, you know, because you don't want to, obviously, middle's never a good, never a good choice. Nobody ever wants the middle.
No.
You don't want to be in the middle seat. At all costs.
Middle seat, mid-cabin.
But I'm assuming this woman was middle seat because you get grumpy when you get that, when you have the cattle call boarding and you get stuck in the middle seat, all of a sudden flight is off to a bad start. You don't know where you're going. You never want to be back near the bath restrooms on an airplane because somebody just may be a monster or have an emergency and they have to have the emergency deuce on the plane. And you don't want to be near that. Nobody ever wants to be near that. And then you never want to be middle row. And I try to stay away from the middle of the plane just because boarding is awful.
Yes, that's what I mean. Middle seat and mid cabin. You do not want to be in either spot.
There is a sweet spot of like back middle where you're far enough away from the restroom.
The back third.
Yeah, third. You got to be in there. Mm-hmm. And then the front, obviously, that's the game changer. But those ones go very quickly.
Did you see the person that bought their boss what they thought was the best seat on the plane in business class? It was 1A, 1B. They were the seats facing the rest of the plane. They were business class seats, but they were rear facing. So you're just looking at everybody the whole flight.
I've never seen that before. That's a thing?
International flight, yeah.
I'm actually kind of in on that. But you get a lay of the land. You can see what's going on, everybody else in front of you, but they're going to watch you sleep. They're going to see you do everything you're doing.
Can't pick a nose once.
Dude, yes, you can.
I mean, you can.
You can.
You got to have some pretty good self-confidence if you're going to pick your nose with everyone looking at you.
Dude, I just assume I'm doing every time I'm driving down the road. If I pick my nose and I look over and somebody's looking at me.
Give them the nod.
No, flick it at them.
Yeah. Because when you're driving, you get knuckle deep.
But I mean, that's like, I think if you were to take a poll, most nose picking comes in a car. I can't explain why.
I think it's number one, you have the freedom to, but for whatever reason, like especially when it's this time of year and you get the allergies kind of going, stuff just kind of builds up in there as the air is blowing it around.
And you have that sense of security that you're in your own private space, and then you look over, you're like, oh, well, guess I'm not.
I've done the like pinky knuckle and then given like the wave.
Oh, yeah, like, just like, hey, how you doing?
Yeah, like, I'm definitely deep, dog. That is what it is.
Yeah, Will's like, be a man, eat it.
no, it's too salty.
Yeah, that's a big one.
So, yeah, Omen just stripped down.
Substitute teacher Will over
there.
Oh,
yeah.
It's so gross watching the kids do that.
A lot of booger eating.
Don't do it. Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, it's a tough one. Mm. And boys are the worst, man. Yeah. Boys,
and they make eye contact with you. It's like when a dog
makes
eye contact.
Don't do that. They're like, yeah, watch me. It's, oh, come on, buddy. What are you doing?
No, thank you.
What are you doing?
And then as it pertains to airline safety, somebody on another flight, a Lufthansa flight, this is actually the second time this has happened in the last two weeks.
What was the resolution to taking a deuce in the middle of the seat?
Because they diverted the plane, landed it, put her in cuffs, and had to evac everybody off the plane because they had a hazmat.
It's a hazmat plane. Mm-hmm. That's a hazmat situation. Could you imagine being in the seat next to her going, no. Any explanation as to why she did this?
No. Hauled off by the cops immediately.
Well, she had to go.
Did she stand up on the seat and drop trow, or was this
basically got naked in her seat, stood up, squat on the seat?
If she just like leaves her clothes on, obviously they have to stop, right?
Oops, I crap my pants.
Yeah.
Does she? Yeah. She doesn't get arrested that way.
No.
Isn't that the route to go?
Well, just go in your drawers.
People poop themselves.
Obviously, something was going on in her mind that she thought, this is in play.
Mm.
And so she geared down and
we used to have a dude who used to crap outside our studio. So
slept there too.
Yeah. He was homeless, not on a plane though.
Yeah. I mean, this could have been that kind of person.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Well, I mean, she was on a plane.
I mean, somebody could have put her on it and
tickets are cheap right now.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know.
No. Can you even go to the airport and buy a ticket to go somewhere now? Like, if you walk up to a counter?
I think you can.
You can?
I think you can.
Hmm.
I think you can take a picture of the barcode from somebody's, too.
And just get on their flight?
That's what I've been told.
I mean, if you have the ID that matches it.
Yeah, but I'm just saying the days where you could just walk up to the counter and be like,
you can.
I'm going to San Francisco today. Yeah. And they're like, okay, that'll be probably $800.
Or if they needed to fill it.
Yeah,
sometimes you can get it cheap that way.
Flights are. I have a problem with the airline industry.
Look, there used to be like not even that long ago, 5, 7, 8 years ago,
yeah,
particularly pre-COVID, like mid-2015-ish, 2014, you could manipulate the system and travel anywhere.
Yeah.
Dirt cheap.
Not anymore.
They do not allow that anymore. Now, you can still manipulate a little bit and save some money, but like I used to finish up contracts and go travel, and I'd just go places. And
yeah,
you could do it dirt cheap. You just buy.
Can't do it now.
You just buy the one ways, and then like if you wanted to go to, this actually still holds true. If you want to buy a one way to Europe, once you get into Europe, you can get everywhere for like less than $150.
Yeah,
it's getting there that's expensive.
I'm picking up with like countries like Iceland and I think Fiji is doing this mm-hmm. now, where they'll have cheap flights to, like, if you want to go to Dublin,
mm-hmm.
right? They'll have a cheap flight to Dublin, but that cheap flight comes with a 2-day layover in mm-hmm. Iceland, so they get their money too.
Mm-hmm.
Fiji Air is doing that as well now. Like, you can fly to Australia for cheap, but they stick you in Fiji for like a 2-day layover. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be complaining about that.
No, Fiji, oh, Fiji's dope.
Let's go.
Also, as it pertains to Portland, I found this out because I booked the trip for my wife and I for the summer. Did you know that there are direct flights from Portland to Heathrow now?
Yeah, I did. I did know that.
Holy crap. Yeah, so we're going to take a direct flight on the way home. Well, I guess not a direct flight, but we're leaving Italy, mm-hmm. going to Heathrow, and then going from Heathrow to Portland.
Yeah, you can do that now.
And I was like, hell yeah. Because otherwise, the old way to get to, you know, the main continent of Europe, it was always going to be like 17, 18 hours.
Yeah, you were going to have to go through New York.
New York, BWI.
Chicago.
Yeah, like the, one of those spots. One of the other worst days on the web here on the plane, this is, I don't even know how this happens.
Okay.
If it's a kid, you understand, but it's an adult, and it's happened a couple times now. Somebody dropped their iPad in the crack of the seat and like folded it.
Oh, it's Jeff Ulbricht. It's how his son got Shadur's number.
Well, the problem is they've got the lithium ion batteries in them, and if they get cracked, they're like an explosion hazard.
Oh.
So this is like the second time this has happened in like the last 10 days with an iPad getting stuck in a seat and a plane had to be diverted because of the fire hazard.
No way.
Yeah. One guy, like, it literally caught fire. And burned him, and it's like battery acid. So, like, he actually had like chemical burns. He was the only one who got hurt, but they had to divert the plane immediately.
I'm out.
I tell you right now, fire up in
air,
not good.
Not good.
They do not like that.
No.
So
I can see why. I could see why.
It it causes problems.
Yep.
That's for sure. So, all right, come up next.
Don't sit on your iPad.
Yeah, definitely don't sit on that. How much does it cost to field a high-level college football team? We got a little bit of insight on that. And, boo, buddy, it's a little bit more than $20 million. Danny Dusty, Tenny the Fan. For what college football is going to look like, we were hoping it was going to be, April 7th, and then they were going to have it push it back, and they had some more revisionist notes.
Well, now the judge is saying that roster limits are the big hang-up,
mm-hmm.
and rightfully so. It's going to kill – roster limits are going to kill walk-ons.
Yeah.
And she wants some protections put in place for the current student-athletes.
Grandfathering, basically.
And how they do that. Turns out, neither side really is equipped or had a plan for what to do with any of these things. So lawyers are lawyering right now. And we actually do have an update where it does look like – I saw Ross Dellinger today had something that – grandfathering in this last class of walk-ons for however long is going to be put in play, and so the roster limits may be in flux for a few years. But we'll see if that's approved or if they can even agree on that. But we're inching closer to having some sort of resolution, it sounds like.
It does also sound like it's going to be more money, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, which,
duh.
When they said it's going to be $4 billion, I'm like, nah, it's going to be more than that. It's all said and done. There's just, you have 50 years.
Mm.
You have 50 years worth of people to take care of. $4 billion ain't enough.
Yeah. Whatever. Just rip the Band-Aid off. NCAA files for bankruptcy
and
says we
away.
Can't do this anymore. And then we get to the point where we have two new governing bodies that organize it. So we'll see where it goes.
But where we're headed right now, the $20 million threshold of NIL, while it's lightly agreed upon, I don't know how well it's going to stick because there is reporting out right now that from the Houston Chronicle, the money that Texas has spent on their roster this year is somewhere between $35 and $40 million.
Yeah, and I never know what to believe on any of these, any of the reports that are out there, because it, you know, remember this time last year, it was Oregon is operating with an unlimited NIL budget mm-hmm. because of Phil Knight. Well, then when the numbers came back, because everything is reported to the NCAA, Oregon was 19th in NIL, behind Kentucky, Arkansas, Auburn, Virginia, Indiana, Penn State, Oklahoma, I mean, and Clemson, which was not rumored to be a big spender. Mm-hmm. All of them spent more money with actual NIL deals.
Yeah.
So you never really know what the what is actually going to be spent on teams. Ohio State, they were pretty open. Like, yep, $23 million last mm-hmm. year. Worth it. Won a national title.
They'd do it again.
And Texas is saying $35 to $40 million this year. Here's the other thing about this year where the numbers are going to be wildly inflated is that the transfer portal in NIL was the wild, wild west, as it was. Mm-hmm. When teams and, more importantly, when agents, which are getting running out of control, started manipulating the landscape in the market, they were going, hey, this is the last year we're really going to have this money grab that we can go and get for. And the price of the brick went up. And the agents, players, their families were asking for way more. And schools were willing to spend it because they're like, this is the last year that we can do it without any caps or restrictions. So there, a lot of schools unloaded the war chest. Mm-hmm. And there's other schools that are sitting there and saying, okay, we were apprehensive about paying a kid X amount of money. Well, now we're going to do it mm-hmm. because we want this kid on campus, and we know we'll have some leverage moving forward in that you'll never get this amount of money yep. going anywhere else. So if you, a lot of times you'll see decommitments happen across college football, college basketball, nothing new. Mm-hmm. What you're seeing is that a lot of schools are pulling off one or two guys here and there, because they're giving them the bag.
Yeah.
And they're saying, this is the last time that we're going to be able to have this amount of money. We can get a difference maker of a player. All right, we're going to throw the bag at him now. But schools like Texas, they're going everybody. Mm-hmm. And it'll be interesting to see kind of what the numbers are for the likes of, you know, Oregon and Texas and Ohio State moving forward. Because Ohio State said, we did it last year and we won a championship.
Why wouldn't we do it again?
Let's run it back one more time.
And I genuinely wonder how long this case is going to hang on for. As far as, like, people kind of hoped, I shouldn't say expected, but hoped that the ruling would be taken care of going into the yeah. season. That's out the window now. Because you, at this point
no,
in time,
gone.
You can't enforce it for this season. It's too late.
Nope.
You need to have this case wrapped up probably by the latest November.
Yeah.
To have it be set in for the next year, because the cycle opens back up in December.
Yep.
And if you don't have something in place by then, we're going to kick this can again.
Oh, yeah. No.
that's just that's where this is at. And schools should operate that way. But this is, the more I see it, and I know that Oregon State, Washington State fans, you guys are going to get mad at me for this, and I don't mean it that way. This feels like it taking care of itself. Those who have, do.
Yeah.
And those that don't, don't. And the line of delineation is just appearing. Now, I get the argument against it. You don't want to have the Dodgers and the Yankees mm-hmm. and everybody else. But the problem is, there's probably 25 Dodgers out there that can spend that much. Like you just said, Oregon was at 19.
Yeah, on spending last year, according to the NCAA NIL database.
Is it hard to come up with six more?
No.
That's what I mean. Like, the line is very clear. It's not just one or two schools that are doing this. It's not even three or four.
Oh,
it's,
they weren't at 19 million. They were 19.
No, 19. Yeah. I'm saying 19th. Yeah. It's saying you come up with six more teams.
Yeah.
So I'm saying there's 25 programs out there that are so far and above. It's not just one or two. That's
oh,
my
no
point.
Doubt.
And that's my point. Like, there is such a clear line of who's in and who's not. that it's kind of taking care of itself and the whole idea of like the self-imposed limits. Now, does there need to be some limit? Probably. I agree. But I don't think that line is 20.
No, I think you're going to see when the Big Ten and the SEC play by their own set of rules, it's going to be exponentially more.
I think it's probably going to be a third higher. I think it's probably going to be 30.
I bet you could. Yeah, the 30 sounds about right. I mean, anything more than that. And look, that's just by the school, by
yes.
the way. Outside NIL, then NIL outside of that will truly be your name, mm-hmm. image, and your likeness being for advertising and for everything else.
Legit endorsements, yeah.
Like, right now, who are we kidding?
I mean, this is they're at 35-40.
Yeah.
And honestly, I believe it.
I do too, because they on recruiting day, they have Lambos and Ferraris set up outside the facility. And last year, Quinn Ewers was driving an Aston Martin. Mm-hmm. Those cars are not inexpensive.
No.
And if you...
And that's on top of everything else that he got.
It's added into his NIL. Yeah. But those aren't cheap. And those go towards... That's $500,000 right there for somebody who's going to be driving that car.
And I bet you the insurance is covered too.
Yeah.
And I bet you that ain't cheap.
No, not one bit.
And Quinn Ewers isn't the only guy on that team.
He is not.
And Arch is getting more money.
He is. And donating it. He's donating it to charity because family's like, we don't need that money.
Yeah.
I wonder why. Family's doing okay.
They're doing all right.
They're doing all right.
So, all right, coming up next, we're going to pivot back to the NBA. There was a massive blowout that I don't think anybody saw coming. And one of Jokic's best, worst performances we've ever seen.
Hmm.
That and more coming up here on Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.